Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wonder whether the children here can tell me something that you will look in probably once a day. At least once a day. Can you think of something that you might look in at least once a day? Besides the breakfast pot. Hmm. Any ideas? Yes? The mirror. There's a young adult down here who just said mirror. Yeah, we do, don't we? I mean, how many of us looked in the mirror this morning? What do the rest of you do? Mostly we will stand in front of a mirror and check out the way we look most days, and sometimes more than once. Because the mirror reveals something about us, doesn't it? Whether we like what it reveals doesn't really matter, but it reveals something about us. Well, this morning I want to point out something that can change how you see yourself and can change the way others see you. You see, the Bible is a moral mirror, which the Holy Spirit uses to help us to see ourselves as we really are. The view that we get is not what we think based on experience or what others think based on their observations. It is how God sees us. But the problem is that many people don't read the Bible, let alone set out to understand it. Further, the Bible has been sadly dismissed as our moral compass. The truth is, we can benefit from the Bible. It is a very practical book, and I was very encouraged to see how many hands were raised when David asked, does it do us any good this morning? Or whatever it was. Now, the question though, even if we do read it, or how we read it, would you like the Bible to do you some good? Would you like to make the Bible part of your daily life? If you do, here's some wisdom from James, and we will look at it under three headings. Be receptive, be obedient, and be moved by the word of God. So first, be receptive. He said words like this. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Now, the word humbly accept means to welcome. It has the idea of receiving and or accepting, or to show hospitality. We don't tend to think of showing hospitality to a book, but it kind of illustrates to us how we are to receive what God is showing us. James is saying this is how we are to receive the book. In other words, we're to cultivate an attitude and life that welcomes what the Bible has to say. Such a life is characterized by humility, openness, and receptivity, and puts us in the best place to receive the seed that God has planted in us, the word that God has planted in us, the gift that God has planted in us. Well, how do we do this? In four ways. Listen carefully and well. Control what we say. Be at peace. And live an honorable life. This means that we need to develop the capacity to listen to the word of God. We need to control what we say and be still and calm to really hear what God is saying. And finally, develop an honorable life and obedience to the word of God. And that leads us naturally to the second point. Be obedient to the word of God. James said, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, I've contemplated that statement for the best part of my life. And I'm not quite sure how that works. Now, I do have to look in the mirror to check what I look like. And sometimes I think, really? But to see yourself in the mirror and walk away and then don't remember what you look like, Well, that fascinates me. Absolutely fascinates me. I'd like to meet someone who has that problem. But anyway. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. In order to be obedient, we are to look carefully into the perfect law that sets us free. That means we are to examine it or research the word. We're not to merely glance at what God is saying. We're to dig deeply for the truths that are laid out. We're to read it like a love letter, considering it, weighing it, thinking over and savouring what it says. Now, I was thinking about this. I mean, you remember when you used to get love letters? Mm-hmm. I don't know what you do these days. Do you get them on a text?
Long time ago.
It was a long time ago. The reverse is true too. And I used to get them a long time ago. And I would read them. And I would fold them up and put them into this pocket. Why this pocket? Near my heart, eh? Isn't that cool? And I'd take it out and I'd read it again. Then I'd see that she's corrected my spelling. A lifetime trade. And then I'd read it again. It's your school teacher. And he'd put away. You kind of savour it, didn't you? In fact, I've still got them, which she would like me to dispose of. But I've still got them in my filing cabinet. How cool is that? I've never read them in the last 40 years. But I know that they're there and I can go back. And it's kind of interesting because when we were going through my father's stuff just recently, sort of like the next glean, we discovered in there letters between mum and dad. And they were really mushy. And this is when they were kind of not much younger than we are now. And I think there's something in there, isn't it? And that is how we are to treat the Word of God. Problem is we tend to sort of distance it a bit. We tend to kind of, oh well, I've got to read it today. But it contains some of the richest things that God wants you to capture on your heart as a lover for you. And we'd receive it that way. It is in studying the Bible and reflecting on it that we're able to make good decisions. It helps us to deal with temptations. And remember that this is how Jesus dealt with temptations. Because he knew the scriptures, he could use them to face down the devil and all his tricks. Along with the psalmist, we need to say, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Bible then becomes our defense and protection. Read, study, and memorize. I'm actually quite envious of people who can memorize screeds of scripture. It's one of which my disability does not permit very well. I worked very hard at it, and after a while, after I got to about 20 or 30 verses, it all became a fruitcake. And it just didn't quite stick in that way. But I am. People who can just recite scripture and it flows out of them, it's just amazing. All this reading and reflection requires a response. James says, but don't just listen to the word of God. You must do what it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. When we have taken the time to read and reflect and respond, we will find we are blessed by God. Yes, the mirror of God's word will tell us the truth about ourselves, but will only do you some good if you apply it to your life and you let the beauty of God shine through you. Thirdly, be moved by the word of God. James said, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. This is about making your life choices in response to what we read. This is critical because there is often a big gulf between what we say we believe and the way we behave. And this has led many to dismiss Christ because they see this inconsistency. So how do we address this problem? First, by taking care in what we say. Are our words honourable and true? B, Be disciplined and careful, for our words say a lot about what's going on in our heart and mind. Next, we are to give. It is not enough to say the right things, but we're also called upon to support, when possible, those who are in need or disadvantaged, the least, the last, and the lost. People matter to God, and they are to matter to us. Now listen to this carefully. In order to do this, we don't focus on what we can't do, but on what we can. We may not be able to do everything, but we can do something, and such good works will bring glory to our Father in heaven. And finally, we are to guard our life. That is, to keep ourselves unpolluted by the world. Keep our hearts and minds free of the clutter that can be so overwhelming and rob us of our joy and peace. Now, it's been really interesting in the recent discussions within the life of the church, whether it's about same-sex attraction or whether it's about a whole range of other issues. And as I listen to the discussion, what becomes apparently clear is that the place that the scriptures have is being minimised in those discussions, mostly because people don't know them. And if we knew our moral compass, well, then we would know the debate and we'd know what's on God's heart. It's some of these things, it's not because I'm thinking them up, it's because God has said to it, I want to be faithful to what His word says. If we want to keep our minds and hearts free of the clutter that can be so overwhelm us, then we need to absorb the word of God and understand it. Now, let me just say something about that. That sometimes when people do this, they get half of it. And it's often the judgmental half. And they lose touch of the fact that alongside that half is this other half of grace. Or you get others who are all grace and no law. And it's always word and spirit together. It is the law and grace. Intention. And we need to understand it. But we need to know the word in order for that to be the case. We need to absorb it so that we understand clearly which way we go. Often James says, I think elsewhere, that don't get tossed around like a ship on a wave because of our unbelief or uncertainty. We can be certain about so much more if we allow ourselves to study the scriptures and get ourselves around it. So what can you do to put into practice what God is saying to you? We've been challenged to receive, obey, and do something with God's word. And each week we invite you to listen again to what the Spirit is saying to you and what you will need to do about that. So what will you need to do? You might simply need to stop talking and quit making excuses and blaming others. You might need to start living for Jesus Christ. Might be that you need to lay down some sin and guard your life and make a commitment. Maybe there's a commitment that you will need to keep. As you think about what God is saying to you today, ask yourself this question: what can I do? How can I apply what I know? Then don't just stay there. Get on with it. Get on with it. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in your word you reveal to us your heart. And you show us within it not only our true state as people who have fallen from grace that are subject to the consequences of sin and judgment, but you reveal to us the heart that wants to welcome us and restore us into the place of wholeness and healing. Lord, help us to receive that word and understand it. Help us to embrace it and then live that way in the way in which we welcome others. Help us to take your word and apply it to our daily lives and the choices that we need to make. May it be indeed the lamp to our feet to guide us in the way we need to go. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.